And so usually we went to church. We never went at night. I mean, that would be, what a horrible waste of time. Because so many good things on television to watch. But once in a while in the morning when we either didn't sleep well or we didn't sleep in, and say, well, there's nothing on television this morning, let's go to church, okay? That's not really the right way to go about it. When a person is planning on going to church, they should go with their heart prepared to worship. And it's not something that just happens automatically when you come through that front door. It's something that actually takes time. In fact, it can take days. I look forward, to me, Sunday's such a special day. I look forward to being with brothers and sisters in Christ. And every one of you who show up for church or Sunday school on Sunday morning are an encouragement to me, to my heart. Not for, you know, anything personal for me or any advantage to me or any points with God, but I'm just glad to see you. You're a brother, you're a sister in Christ. And I like being with family. Worship occurs when we reverence God, when we realizing that He is our Heavenly Father, and we come with the expectation of God's Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Because if you go to any church service, this one or any other church here in the greater Charleston area, and you don't feel the presence of God's Holy Spirit working in you, you're wasting your time. I usually spend the week in anticipation of what's going to take place here on Sunday morning. And once in a while, the Holy Spirit will touch somebody's heart and they'll make some kind of a decision or let it be known that something's going on in their heart, and they'll come to the front and share it with me, or they'll come to the front and I see them kneeling at the altar. That's exciting. I know that God's Holy Spirit is working here. And we're small in number, but God is doing some great things here, people. He's touching hearts. He's changing lives. And I believe He's going to keep this ministry going. You know, a pastor spends a lot of each week preparing his heart to minister to you. I spend a lot of time praying, God, what am I supposed to share with the folks? What does somebody need? Not direct by name, but Father, what is a need that we have in our ministry? And sometimes He waits. I don't get an answer that morning, or the next morning, or the next morning, and Sunday's getting closer and closer. And I feel a pressure. God, I'm supposed to feed them. Give me something that they can eat. Now, no responsible pastor wants to hurt his sheep. Among pastors, a pastor who hurts his sheep is called a sheep beater. Okay. And I don't want to beat any sheep. I'm thinking about messages that can be of benefit in your lives. If if application can be made. So when we look at the Sunday event we call church, we come here, at least I hope so, we come here to worship God. We come here to praise Him, and we do with the hymns. We don't sing the, there are some good contemporary hymns, but most of it is junk, the contemporary stuff. And people wonder, well, how do you pick the hymns that you're going to sing, or how do you pick a good contemporary? What makes a contemporary hymn good? If Jesus Christ is the subject. Some of us, when we grew up, actually had to do outline sentences when we were in English class. We had to pick the subject and the verb and any predicates or all that stuff. If you take a contemporary hymn and you outline it, and the singer or the church or something else is the subject, that's not a good hymn. That's not about Jesus. That's not about God. And so many of the hymns are that way. So we try and sing good music. When the event we call church takes place, from the perspective of the attendee, that's you, okay? The view should be a little different. In some cases, a person attending church has been experiencing some kind of trauma or tribulation in their lives during the week. And folks, don't anybody think that I'm criticizing anyone. I am not. I want to let you know about being prepared to worship. Because if you still have the things of your workplace or the world as a part of your life when you come to worship God, you can't worship Him. It's contaminated. And because many things go on in a person's life during the week, and they come in, the first thing that they might want to do is share it with the Sunday school teacher before he teaches, or share it with the pastor before he preaches. And that's not the time to do that. Because if I prepare my heart the way I should, I'm coming to worship too. I'm coming to please God, to share the truth of God's word with you. And so that's not the time to come tell me what a rotten week you've had and how so-and-so, you know, stabbed you in the back and there was blood everywhere. No, that's not the time for that. It's not the time to come and criticize. Well, I don't like the way this is going. Let's do something different. That's not the time to do that. That's not before Sunday school, before church. No. We should be thinking about worshiping God, who He is. Think of the fact of what God has done for you to bring you here this morning. He provided some kind of transportation. I don't think anybody walked. Well, yes, Connie and I walked. That's because we live here. God did so much to make it possible for each one of us to be here this morning, to worship Him, to praise Him for all that He has done. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Well, I'm talking about this because I want the worship experience that you have here to be the very best experience that you could have had today. I want you to be aware of the presence of God. I want you to understand, His Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God's Holy Spirit is living in your heart. And He wants to minister to the needs of your life. And He will do that while you are worshiping God. While you are praising Him. You know, the first song this morning, I love that song, How Great Thou Art. Oh, He is the greatest thing that ever happened to the world. And there are so many times in our lives, each of our lives, where that the words of that song and the melody just well up in our hearts. And we want to sing, maybe we can't because we don't have the voice for it, but God in His wisdom knew that. But He understands if we want to sing, Oh Lord my God, how great Thou art. That's worship, folks. And that's what we're supposed to be doing when we come here. And so if we come here and we're dragging all of our problems from the week along with us, we can't worship. We can't. So we want to start working on preparation as we anticipate going to church, coming to church, whatever we're going to be doing. So what could spoil the experience of worship? Well, there's quite a few things that could put a damper on worship. You know, there are people, this is going to be hard for you to believe because you know you, but there are people who actually come to church not to worship. So what kind of things could spoil the experience? I know that none of you have ever done this. That's just a way of saying you probably are all guilty. But you've never fussed at the kids on the way to church, have you? Johnny, get ready. It's almost time for us to leave. Okay, Sue, I don't want you wearing those kind of shoes. What makes you think that a bathing suit will work for church? None of you have ever probably done that. Or you're on your way to church and some fool or horrible driver or idiot cuts you off. That really puts you in the mood to worship, doesn't it? No, we need to come with the idea and with the plan that we are going to worship our Heavenly Father. Husbands and wives, if you're arguing the morning you get up and it's time for church, or it's morning where you are supposed to go to church, may I make a suggestion? You're not going to be able to worship God, not in that condition. Can I suggest that if you're not agreeing that day, that you sit down on the couch with each other and you bow your heads and you talk to God about it and you ask Him to help you to worship Him like He wants you to. Then you can worship. And you will. You know, there's something really special about worshiping God. You can experience a love in your heart, reaching out to Him. And if you're not so distracted that you can't hear God's Holy Spirit reaching out to you, letting you know he does love you. He does care for you. He cares about what has happened to you that week. And it may be that it's going to happen again this coming week, but don't be thinking about that. You've come to worship God. If you and your mate can't get an argument worked out, aren't you brothers and sisters in Christ? Can't he fix things? What does he say about that? Aren't we supposed to love everybody? How can you love somebody you're mad at? Suppose you get cut off on your way to church. Now, I very rarely say, praise the Lord. What a wonderful guy that was. But if God's Holy Spirit is working in my heart, I can pray for that driver. I can pray that God will put somebody in his life or her life, I don't want to be partial, that could tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they might become more responsible. That's not the motive. The motive is to see them get saved. But they might be, when they are saved, they might be a more responsible driver. So we can love people. So far, I have not given you any scripture. And here we are, 15 minutes into the message. I want to give you a scripture now. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you remember that chapter, it is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Jesus is tired. He sits on the side of the well. He says, give me something to drink. It's a Samaritan woman. Jews are not supposed to even talk to the Samaritans. She wondered, why is he talking to me? And they got to talking about things, and finally down in verse 23, Jesus says this to her, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're here this morning, people. We have come in spirit. And we are here looking at the truth of God's word. And if anyone doesn't believe that this book is the truth of God, that person is lost and on their way to hell. And we don't want that. Wouldn't it be sad for us to get to heaven and look around and someone who's here this morning is not in heaven with us? Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the second coming of Christ. And there is a day coming when he's going to take the church. He's going to take everybody who's saved, no matter where they are, what they're doing. He's going to catch them up to be with him in heaven. But wouldn't it be sad if we looked around when we got there and somebody who's here this morning wasn't there? Because they had never truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But the hour cometh, and now is. And people, this is the hour. This is the hour that God set aside for you and for me to worship Him, to love Him. When we came this morning, did we come to give something to God, or did we come to get something from God? If you came to give something to God, your worship experience is going to be a little different than the person who came to get something from God. How do we demonstrate love? By giving. How did God demonstrate love? By giving. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. We've already gotten the gift. What can we bring to give God? We can bring to give Him our worship, our reverence. He's God. He's not the man upstairs. Man, I hate to hear people talk about God that way. They have no reverence for Him. They don't understand who He is. He's God. Oh, there were so many things I could have said in Sunday school this morning, Tim. I didn't want to interrupt you. Tim was talking about, he mentioned during the lesson about Muslims coming into this country in great number, and we don't need to compromise with them. Tim, if we loved God the way we're supposed to, they wouldn't want to come. We wouldn't, they wouldn't want to come because we loved God and He wasn't their God. Allah is not God. If anybody tries to tell you about Allah, He is not the God in heaven. No. Allah is one who promotes lying, hatred, war. What does God of heaven promote? Love, joy, peace. Yeah. So Allah is not God. He's not our God. But we came this morning to worship our God. As we come to worship God, and we might be driving, maybe you're driving and you suddenly think, uh-oh, I did something I didn't ask God to forgive. I've got a sin that I didn't confess to God. As you're driving, don't close your eyes, please. But as you're driving, you can be talking to God and you can say, Father, I sinned. Forgive me. Father, help me not to do that again. So that when you come through that front door, your heart is pure. Your sins are confessed. Because God promised, John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what you did. If you're truly repentant, He'll forgive it. And then, your heart is pure. David wrote in one of the Psalms, Psalm 66:18, said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So how can you come worship if you've got iniquity in your heart? So as you're preparing to worship God, you want to make sure that you're confessed to God. You don't have to confess that to anybody. You can confess it to God. You can confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask Him to give you repentance. Ask Him to keep you from doing that again. God is a jealous God. He is. He loves us. but he's jealous. He doesn't want us offering worship to any other God. Not to the God of television. Not to the God of work. Not to the God of home or car or anything. He wants us to worship him. That's all. And he will accept our worship. If we have confessed our sins, then in God's sight, we are holy. Now, I don't consider myself a holy person because I know me. And you may have the same problem with as you look at inwardly and the introspection shows you things you'd rather not see. But if you've confessed your sin, if you've truly tried to repent, ask God to give you repentance, then your sin is going to be forgiven and God is going to see you as holy. And those are the kind of people he wants to give him worship. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So when we come to worship, it should be because we love God more. And that is not putting down your mate. That is simply doing what God said to do. In Psalm 5:11 it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." I'm so happy when I head over here to church. I wish sometimes that I lived further away because I could have joy a little longer. But it's so great to be able to really worship God. So let's look at what we've learned so far. First, we have to prepare before we worship God. We need to prepare our lives, our hearts, our situation. And the only one we're going to worship is going to be God. Secondly, we should focus on God. We should be thinking about God. Not work, not what's been going on in our lives. We should be thinking about God. Thirdly, we should be in love with God. And oh, it's so sweet. It's so sweet to love God. He loves back so well. There are times when, as a couple, maybe we don't love each other quite as much as we did at one other time. If, you know, something is that your favorite meal is burned to a crisp. Or some remark is made that steps on your pride. Then we let the Holy Spirit convict us. Hey, you need to fix this. And there are times when it seems like I have to do a lot of fixing. Not her fault, mine. The fourth reason that we need to come to church to worship God and be prepared is because he gives us joy in our hearts and in our lives. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defendest them, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I read that just a minute ago. But we should get joy from coming to worship God. The fifth reason that we worship God is because we are grateful for all the things that God does for us. Everything you have, everything, God has given to you. Or you may think you worked for it, but you didn't. God gave you the energy. God gave you the wisdom. God gave you the ability to do whatever you did. But he also provided everything you have. When you came into this world, you possess nothing. When you go out of this world, you're going to possess nothing. Everything you have is on loan to you from God. And you need to be ready for that. If I loan you one of my tools, I expect you to give it back. Now, I know that's not reasonable in today's society, but I do. Psalm 100, 4 and 5 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. So worship always involves gratitude. Always. If you're not thankful, you can't worship God. I'm so glad for all that he has done in my life. I never expected to live this long. I probably shouldn't have, if the truth be known. But God is taking care of each one of us. We're still breathing. God's going to continue to take care of you. You know, because God is who he is, I'm not afraid of meeting him. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I don't want to expedite it. Okay, I'm not going to step out in traffic just to get to meet God. But I don't have to be afraid of him. He's my father. He loves me. He loves all of you too. If we know him, it doesn't matter if we go through some kind of confrontation or conflict with someone who hates God and hates God's people. And if they take our lives, what are they doing? They're expediting us to going to heaven. And that's not a bad thing, folks. You know, some people are very sad that Billy Graham is in heaven with God right now. I'm sure he was glad to get there. And just think of the reception he must have gotten. Millions of people that he led to the Lord, who was responsible for their coming to the Lord because of his preaching. I know when we were in Scotland, ministering over there, we met people who had been saved during Billy Graham Crusade. When we were in northern Canada, in northern Alberta, we met people who had been saved under Billy Graham. Every place we've gone, people have been saved under Billy Graham. What a wonderful legacy. When we worship, we should be thinking about God and not someone else. It's distracting to have our mind somewhere else when we are supposed to be thinking about God. Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, there is a time for everything under the sun, and there is a time for everything under the sun, including worship. And God has slipped in little slots here and there in all of our lives where we can come apart and worship Him. What a sweet thing. Then we can go back out in the world, get beat up, but we can come here and we could worship God. The sixth part of worship must be the Word. And I've been sharing just a few parts of the Word with you. Psalm 96:9 says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." And if your heart is pure, because you have done what the Word says, you can worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And it should be a beautiful thing. When you leave here, if you've really worshiped God, you should feel filled with joy, glad to know that He loves you and He is a part of your life. When we come together here, a regular part of worship is reading God's Word. And as we read God's Word, that is God speaking to us. Because God wrote this. And God preserved this. And God has made it possible for you to have a copy of His Word in your language that you can understand. And this is a part of worship. As you read your Bible at home, during the day, it's God speaking to you. It's a kind of worship. Think about it. God is talking to me from His Word. And you will love. You'll love Him. Maybe you can begin to get a little glimpse now of why it requires preparation for worship. We need to have our hearts prepared. And we don't need the world to crouch in on us. We need to keep our hearts and our minds concentrated on our Heavenly Father. We shouldn't go to a Sunday school teacher. We shouldn't go to a pastor before they perform their service for the Lord with problems. We can go to them with prayer. During the week is the time to deal with problems. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, Sunday morning at 10:45, 9:45. It's time to worship God. Monday morning you can call and deal with the problem. And if it lasts till Monday morning, if it's not going to last till Monday morning, great. But if it's still going on Monday morning, then call. But not on Sunday. Not on Wednesday night when we're going to have Bible study. So, we need to prepare to worship and then worship. I'm so glad that God has given each one of us a time when we may come apart and worship and fellowship and express our love for Him. Let's pray. Father, we do love You because You first loved us. And Father, as we come to the close of this service, we ask that Your Holy Spirit might minister to every heart here, that every need might be met. Thank You, Father, for the visitors who have come. Thank You for our regular attenders who have been able to come this morning. Thank You for each one You have brought here. Father, we ask that You accept our worship. And Father, use us in this week to come to glorify you, to accomplish your purpose for our life. And we will praise you for what you do. Bring us back together again tonight. And Father, once again, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.